In 1994 or 1995, Bill Bathman came to Warsaw, Poland. And among others, there was a person from Poland who was a teenager at the time of his escape. He escaped to France. To be sure, if you enter prayer, you enter the world of unknown. And you do it consistently, and you do it for decades, then the time will come that the mountain will be moved. Something is happening. So great things are happening in this area of revival.
Welcome to the ITMI podcast. I'm your host, Summer Kelly. In today's episode, I'm chatting with the translator of the two newest translations of the Bible into the Polish language. That's right, I'm talking about ITMI's Peter Zaremba. In addition to translating, Peter is a pastor and a church planter, and our European director. Also, fun fact, Peter was recently named Personality of the Year in his hometown of Poznan, Poland. In this conversation, Peter and I look back over the gargantuan Bible translation project. He gives us some advice on how to accomplish crazy big and daunting projects like translating the Bible. He also opened up about one way the calling to translate the Bible for revival impacted his prayer life. And he shares a few stories that illustrate how deep the impact of the translation goes, and some interesting thoughts as he looks ahead to what God might be doing with his word in Poland and beyond. So let's get straight to my chat with Peter Zaremba. Peter, welcome to the ITMI podcast. I am so excited to have you here today.
I am also happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start by going back quite a few years. You and ITMI's founder, Bill Bathman, had a conversation that really formed your ministry and really your life from that point on. Let's start by having you tell us about that conversation.
Great question. So in 1994 or 1995, Bill Bathman, the founder of In Touch Mission International, came to Warsaw, Poland, and he met me while I was studying for the first year in a Christian university where all non-Catholic denominations were studying. And I was a student for the Baptist Church. After preaching his sermon in the Baptist Church in Warsaw at 10 o'clock in the morning, he later met us students. And he asked us a question, students, how I could help you. And I don't know what others said, but I do remember that I said, Brother Bill, please provide us with Greek grammars, Hebrew grammars, Greek interlinears, Hebrew interlinears, dictionaries, and everything that we need to translate the Bible. Because I said to him, if we will not start it now, we will have nothing after 30 years. And to be sure, it was not planned, but when in 2016 this first translation of the Polish Bible from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek was translated to Polish and published, it was exactly 30 years later. At the time of our conversation, I obviously didn't speak Greek. I was at the beginning of my theological education. I didn't speak Hebrew. It was all before me. But the desire was there and the calling was there. And Bill sent us these books and they were instrumental in our first stages. Later on, we were in contact. So later on, we obviously started to see computers developed and software developed. So Bill Bathman and Bob Evers, the father of the director of ITMI, were so helpful, so instrumental in providing me with new computers, with software, with books. And obviously at that time we all thought that if they will purchase a computer, this computer will get me through the project. And probably nobody knew that these computers would get outdated so rapidly. So from that time on, I had multiple computers and more software. And as a matter of fact, my library with logos is over $11,000 by now. So this is a costly project, and ITMI got me through it. It is not yet finished in terms of there is still something to be done, but two major translations of the Bible, the one published in 2016, similar to the NIV of an English-speaking world, and the second published in 2019, similar to ESV of the English-speaking world, were published.
What were some of the things that you were looking at around you in Poland at that time that made you request that specific need?
It was obvious. It was so noticeable. Evangelical movement in Poland, believe it or not, this is to our shame, did not start with Bible translation. At that time, we were having translation of 17th century, and somehow Polish evangelicals just were using these translations, never thought that to be biblical, as evangelicals try to name themselves, that we are very biblical, but without having translations from the original texts done, say, every maybe 10, 15 years, let's suppose that you are studying English literature. You will not study English literature using translations of the Shakespearean literature from English to Polish. You will want to get to English original, to study English literature. You go to English texts. And sorry to say so, we building the church, we're not going to Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek texts, but we were satisfied with the translations of the history, which is simply shame on us. But this is what happened. So at that time, I was already an engineer. I had a degree in engineering and I knew something about the world. So for me, just translating the Word of God was obvious that this is how you start.
Yeah. What were the implications of not having that translation that came directly from the original languages?
The implications of not having our work done in original manuscripts was that our theology was basically a repetition of some other theologians of the Christian world. So basically, theological books were translated from English to Polish. For 17 years, I was a translator of good theological books like Rari's Basic Theology, Erickson's Christian Theology, Grudem's Systematic Theology, and there were also some books in practical theology, a lot of devotionals, a lot of books on homiletics and church and marriage and you name it. And it was all good and necessary, but without the translation of the Bible from original languages to Polish, all those were not that crucial.
When you first started on this project, what were some of the ways that people reacted?
Well, if I am to be honest, because my work was so fundamental, few believed I will arrive at the end successful. I had people who were saying things like, "Peter, who will read this translation of yours?" And I answered to that person, "Well, not you." I said, "This translation will be read by those who at this stage don't even know they will be Christians. Another reaction was like, yeah, but who will translate it? Now, I gave a lot of time to learning Hebrew and Greek, and I said, I will translate, among others. After all, this is why I study. But in general, I just felt like people think like, okay, great idea, it will be there for 5 years, but will we really see the conclusion of the work? And yet, we saw one. And the truth is that I am with this project from the very beginning to the very end. It took 25 years, so you can imagine that my kids grew up, and also some of my coworkers got married and stopped being involved, and some didn't see any more benefit in continuing. The work of translation does not give you too much of academic credits, or so it was like a lonely journey. And I was successful.
Were there moments where you maybe were tempted to give in to all of the doubt? How did some of that feel along the way?
There was never a moment I wanted to give up. Never, ever. To the contrary, I was fired up by this thought that got to my consciousness somewhere at the beginning stages of my work, and this thought was translate the Bible for revival. So it also influenced my prayer life, because when I was asking God, well, will the revival come? Why we have so few Christians? And so on and so forth. I heard as if God was telling me, hey, just be quiet, translate that Bible and you will see. So this was also some sort of really encouraging journey, because I never ever had this idea of giving up. What I did have was that when I was working upon my PhD, and my PhD is in Hebrew and Greek linguistics, and I was working on the translation techniques as they are found in the documents found at Qumran around the Dead Sea, then the thought I had, and this one I remember, this was such a huge work that I was getting this idea that I am here trying to move a mountain from one place to another using a teaspoon. And that impression I got, like, every day I work hard and this is like a moving the mountain with a teaspoon. But you know, if you are moving the mountain with a teaspoon and you do it consistently and you do it for decades, then the time will come that the mountain will be moved.
Amen. Oh, yes, amen. That's really inspiring, actually.
I was conditioned to translate even before, and I am probably kind of a guy that can stick to what he made as his goal. But I remember my father coming on a visit, and I was translating a book. Actually, this was Erickson's Christian Theology. And my father said, so will you translate this book? And I said, yeah. And he said, but how? And I said, page by page. And when he arrived a couple of months or maybe a year later, he said, but Peter, where is this book you are translating? And I said, it's done. So this is how we do big things, just little by little, every day, faithfully. And don't always look forward. Look also back. Because when we look forward to this mountain of the things that have to be done, you can get discouraged. But if you also look backward and see what you've done, then this is encouraging, showing that, the teaspoon is working.
And this is so relevant for ITMI, because we go to these places where there's this massive amount of suffering and work to be done and people to be reached, and maybe I only have $5 to give. But when the people of God come together and do their teaspoonful faithfully, consistently,
right,
then big things happen.
Yes, millions of dollars consist of 1 cent. So this is the truth, and it cannot be otherwise.
Yeah. So the translation took how many years?
At this stage, this is about, I'm saying about because usually with translations of the Bible, this is different than with translations of modern book. Because in the area of modern book, you simply translate from one language to another. You do some study in the vocabulary, culture, and so on, but not even close to what you have to do with the Bible. Translating the Bible is like one long Bible study or Bible expository. So this is different story. So by now I am in this business of translating, if I may say so, 25 years. So basically it defined my career, it defined my life. And I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm glad, I'm excited that God called me to do this translation.
And that vision for revival that God gave you from the beginning, we've got two versions out in circulation now. What little bits are you starting to see of that coming to reality?
Translating the Bible with this thought in my mind, translate the Bible for revival, often made me think, so how this revival will look like? How will it be initiated? And this was all just asking God, or maybe even wondering in front of God, how can that be? To be sure, if you enter prayer, you enter the world of unknown. This is nothing is planned. You don't enter with your preconceived ideas or with your ideas that it will happen just like you think it will. So what I see now, the Bible is there. People started to ask whether they can use the text of this translation for their different purposes, like evangelistic ones. We started as an evangelical Bible society, which was formed in Poland just for this Bible to have some institutional base, and also so that we could somehow focus people on an institution that brought it to being. So aside of ITMI internationally, we have Evangelical Bible Institute locally. They were just coming to us, and we were sharing this translation with different institutions, so that now we already have over 1.5 million copies of that translation in distribution or simply in people's hands.
Wow.
Over 1.5 million people, we may say, actually reads this translation of the Bible. So this is a huge impact. People write, people ask questions. So at this stage, some of our challenges is to have time to answer these really good questions. But also we found that even theological schools, they use this translation as a guideline to students as the students try to translate, for example, Pauline literature. I had a teacher of Greek language calling me and saying that he is so happy about this translation. He said, I'm just excited to see how students start to look at Paul's literature and absorb Apostle Paul's thought using your translation, because he said that some existing translations in Poland don't simply have it. So it is an impact. Then, who knew that by the time I finished this translation, we would have different philosophical climate even in the country of Poland, and the church will go through this present difficulties that are known around the world, where the church is again as if asking for its own identity. So when you take all this, I would say, obviously, we have a couple of years to go to see more of it. But for now, I could say really people get interested. And this translation of the Bible stirs the interest of the people. So great things are happening in this area of revival. At first, when I finished this translation, I thought, well, so translation is done, and God, now where is this revival? And I felt as if God was impressing on me this answer, well, I know what to do, you just watch me doing it, and I can say what happens in Poland. But what happens in Poland is to some degree a part of the picture of what happens in Western world. Something is happening. I feel like I am and we are in God's hands, and this is a logical plan of somebody, obviously we know God, that is now developing in front of our eyes.
And so while we're kind of talking about that, I know that some of our listeners might be aware that you've had some pretty big milestones with the translation, even after the publications of them. Those were obviously big milestones, but we might not be aware of all that went into them. So tell us about some of those recent milestones and what they mean in Poland.
Yes. So these are the milestones. Obviously, I would say translation as such was a milestone. And now how? Well, first of all, we were translating the Gospels. So here, a milestone illustration. When Poland was a communist country, we had some people giving up on Poland and escaping from the country to Western countries where they could find better life, easier life, more abundant life. Nobody could escape, but some did. And among others, there was a person from Poland who was a teenager at the time of his escape. He escaped to France. He was not a Christian. He was just a boy, but there in France, he met some followers of Jesus and people who knew Christianity as a relationship with God. And he was introduced to that. He was given a Bible in French, and he was reading it, and he himself became a follower of Jesus. After some time, he became a missionary, and he is very instrumental in just providing some nations in the restricted areas with thousands of Bibles, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. But he never ever met a Polish translation. Now, this is another kind of scene in the same story. In our church, we had a young girl, a missionary, an American. She is a daughter of a missionary couple who happened to work in the same area where this Polish teenager first and later disciple of Jesus and missionary worked. And this missionary girl from our church sent one of the Gospels to that place for her parents. And while this Gospel was on the table, this man from Poland was passing by. He saw it. He saw that this is in Polish. And he thought, well, I may not understand it. I basically left Poland so long ago. But he took this Gospel, probably Gospel of Mark, to his hands. He started to read. And this is what he wrote to this missionary couple. Here am I. I have this translation in my hands. I can understand everything. And I'm crying. Later on, I met this missionary, and there is another part of the story. But similar testimonies of people who at last understood the message of the gospel. I could quote and quote and quote. And people write to us that with this translation, they somehow see the Bible anew. They can understand the message as if they never read before. Somebody told me, listen, my wife read quite a big book of the Old Testament in one day. This is something special about this translation. So now this is a milestone. We had, after these Gospels, we then have New Testament and Psalms, and people were quoting and memorizing this. And then we had institutions or foundations coming and saying, hey, give us the New Testament and we will add like notes for kids, notes for the bikers, notes for the truckers, notes for the rock music fans. Let there be festival Bible and so on and so forth. So we were just allowing them to have a text of the New Testament, and they were adding some stories, testimonies at the beginning and at the end, and started to distribute it in Poland. They distributed by now maybe 500,000 copies. Among others, they distributed, or they do distribute these copies in Polish prisons. And we in Poland get letters from prisons where prisoners just reading this Bible. There is a page where you can fill out that, yes, as of today, I made my decision to open my life to Jesus and I repented of my sins. So we may have these pieces of paper sent to us, or people simply write in their letters what they did. So these are simply huge milestones where we can see that this work done in a smaller room is now bringing fruit among the hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Those are really exciting. And I'm just excited to have been part of it, as your supporters should be too.
I feel the same. And I concerning supporters, I would like them to know that there is nothing like a Polish hero translating the Bible and humble supporters sending him support. I think we are the team. And just as I was told that for every soldier fighting in a combat somewhere on the front line, he needs probably 15 people that provide him with something. So I feel like this. I do translate, true, but I need books. I still need books. I still need access to most modern magazines and literature and archaeological discoveries and you name it, whatever comes with arriving at the text that is understood in a better way. I still need it, or I should say we still need it in Evangelical Bible Society. So I would say, supporters, this is our work. This was a great work, and your input, your part, simply cannot be overstated.
Amen. And in Poland, evangelicals are just a tiny sliver of the population, about 0.5%. So how does that affect what you do and the support you had from within Poland for the duration of this project?
The fact that evangelical Christianity is tiny does not deter us from doing the work. Because, you know, to be honest, there was a point in the history of Christianity that it consisted of a one person, Jesus Christ. He was the one. So he was not discouraged. This is how you start. Everything starts small. So we are not discouraged. Moreover, we do this translation for evangelicals, but this is not to stay within evangelical realm. This is a translation done for all Polish-speaking mankind. So Polish people consist of 60 million people, and it is told that Polish people are sixth biggest diaspora around the world. So we do it for many, many, many millions of people.
That's really fantastic. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks again for being here with us today, Peter.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're also thankful that you were here with us today. Be sure to check back for the second part of this interview with Peter. He shares some of the most memorable moments during the Bible translation project so far, what's on the horizon for him, and stories that I'd never heard before from his youth during the communist years in Poland. He also gets into news from the other ministries that he's involved with. You won't want to miss out, so make sure to click that subscribe button so you'll get the next episode as soon as it's available. See you next time!